Welcome to the Yak Sports Podcast with Joe Deck and Leland McCray.
All right, Joe, another week of high school sports came and went and kind of highlighted, I'll start with the boys soccer, honestly. That Stanton-Wilson matchup that kind of built up for years, which seemed to be the decider in the district, it's been the Stanton show. And Stanton had a heck of a time at Wilson, winning 8-0, a really great week by winning at Fort, or against Fort, 5-0 later in the week, and pretty much put the stamp on the regular season that, you know, they're in the driver's seat a couple games up on anybody in the district, even made Wilson, you know, in the standings, knock down a spot with that loss. So I think, you know, it's Stanton's district until multiple levels of corrosion happen. And I just don't expect that to happen out of this program. And it makes you feel like the district's in hand. And it does make you start wondering, you know, what can this team do in 3C?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's kind of been our opinion most of the year. We wanted to make sure and see what happened when they played. But there's no doubt now. Stanton is winning the district in boys soccer. So the question does then turn to region play. How deep can they go? Can they get to the semifinal? Can they get past that semifinal and get into a region championship and earn that state playoff berth? Who knows? We'll see. Again, as is my concern with a lot of the spring sports, and I've said it repeatedly, and it was my concern during the winter season, and it was my concern for a large portion of the fall season outside of a team called Riverheads. What happens when you get to the region playoffs? We know you're beaten up on the Shenandoah District, but what happens when you get to the region playoffs and you're not playing the Shenandoah District anymore? That hasn't been great for the Shenandoah District this year in sports for the most part, but we're hoping here that the Stanton boys soccer is an example of them being okay. Wilson girls soccer is another one that you look at and you're like, okay, I hope they go deep in the region because that district seems to be pretty much in hand.
Yeah. And that's, these are kind of the storylines we said the last time Stanton was on deep runs with the boys soccer. And they had those regular seasons where they're so dominant and beating everybody 8-0, 10-0 kind of games. And, you know, Stanton did go on to win a state championship with that boys team and kind of prove what was true there that time. The Wilson girls last year made it to the state playoffs and you know, came up short in a state semi. I mean, that's getting there. That's proven. They got out of the region. So I think, and that's recent history there with the same program. I know a different coach there at Wilson, but still a lot of the same girls that witnessed what happened. So, you know, that program is really rolling at that area. So, you know, I'm optimistic, I think, for good reason, because we've seen both these programs in soccer make those deep runs. You know, can they get there again? I think is kind of the number one step. I'm sure in-house they're talking about the regular season, the Shenandoah District and stuff like that. But, you know, as we look ahead, and that's what we can do on this venue here, is I think there's good reason to have hope for both those teams and what they can do. And it's a tough region 3C for both girls and guys soccer. Absolutely. But, you know, I'm optimistic, and I think there's a little bit of weight behind that.
Yeah. And I think that, again, I think looking in district for competition there is not going to be something that helps them, which is
sad. You like to drive that point. I have no evidence to argue with that point. That's what drives me crazy, is that I hate, like, oh yeah, the Shenandoah District, you know, isn't helping these teams be ready for the postseason. I don't comment every other week because, like, I don't like that that's true.
I don't like that it's true either. But it's a point to the listeners who are like, oh, well, look what they're doing in the district. Like, that's not helping them. You need to look at the games against these other 3C teams that are out of district and are going to be the teams they see in the playoffs.
And those are the ones that matter. Just talked about are those teams that have those wins.
Right.
It's just when we talk about the diamond sports, when we talk about tennis even, you're not seeing that as much.
Yep. Bingo.
Baseball, softball, the week there, and this is where our conversation gets a lot more about, you know, district goals. Wilson, not a great week. They lost to Allegheny County, who's a 3C team. They lost to Stewart's Draft, who's a 2B team, a team that was towards the bottom of the district. Now, they're on a little bit of a roll. I think they're kind of waking up, but you know, if Wilson's what they hope they are, they don't lose that game. And it was a 4-2 game, so it's not some kind of butt whooping. But there's an example right there of a team out of the Shenandoah District that's going to go deep in the postseason needs to dominate the Shenandoah District with what we're seeing everywhere. And that, and Wilson's not doing that. You know, we've seen them now with a district loss. That Riverheads is really happy for district concerns, you know, that someone else was able to knock them off because they had lost a close one with Wilson. And then Riverheads loses to Waynesboro to start last week. And so now they're battling two district losses. Well, they're happy Wilson got one from somebody else. They're going to have their chance for revenge. I think that's next Tuesday. So we're coming up soon. And speaking of Riverheads, they had the nice win against Central in the 2B. So of any of the boys baseball teams, I think Riverheads will give us these glimmers of, well, maybe they can get out of the region. Maybe they'll be okay in the region. They had the good week last week with after they lost to Waynesboro. I think that was a wake-up call for them, slamming Central 7-0 and then absolutely obliterating Buffalo Gap, who's not strong this year, but absolutely treating them the way they should. It's not enough yet. As a Riverheads homer, I'll still tell you, it's not enough yet for me to be like, oh, yeah, Riverheads is going to states. They're getting out of this region. But it gives me added items to that hope when they can beat a solid program like Central. They're still going to have Strasburgs and Pages and Clarks that are going to show up there. Buckingham, I think, is decent. You know, they're beating who they can beat out of district, which is really good. And, that's what we got there for baseball.
Yeah, and I just said
everything, but
you did, and but again, this is another thing of you talking about Wilson, the loss to Allegheny, and a surprise loss to Draft. Like we talked about it last week, those three C teams weren't in the region playoffs as of last week. That's not helping,
and they're still not. Yeah,
on the softball end, Stewart's Draft remains in control. It's not quite a runaway for them yet, but they are very much in the driver's seat.
Yeah, they had the nice week with a couple wins. They still have some of these other upper teams to face. I believe they got to play Buffalo Gap still. I think they've already beat Riverheads, but this week they have Fort Defiance, which is usually a good program. They're stubbing their toes, and Waynesboro, which is down there. So it's another take care of business week for Stewart's Draft coming. Riverheads, Stanton, and Draft. I'm way off this. Sorry. Riverheads and Draft play this week. I looked at my wrong note. Riverheads and Draft play this week. That's the big game for softball. And so, you know, Stewart's Draft by next week, we could be talking about runaway. But it's an opportunity for Riverheads, who kind of came out the gate slow. This is an example of out-of-district problems. But now they're doing well in district. This is an opportunity for them. So I think that's the big showdown this week. It's Thursday. A lot of these games are happening on Thursday this week. It's rare outside of Easter week for these games to happen like that. But that's what's going on there. But, yeah, it's some of the same stuff there. So, I think we're both these diamond sports. I think what we just talked about, too, I think we're kind of racing for the Shenandoah District is kind of the high goal here.
That's kind of all I have on the diamond sports too.
Yeah.
I don't have
tennis. We just haven't talked about tennis. So I just at least wanted to mention it before we get to the final week of it. The boys tennis, Wilson dominating like always. Riverheads has kind of been that thorn in their side of recent years. Riverheads kind of fallen off just a touch this year, with their lineup. Gap is actually sitting in second place. Wilson looks to have that district wrapped up. Wilson, though, on the girls' side, also leading that district, but Waynesboro is right there as a contender, so that's something to watch. They play Thursday, so that's why I wanted to mention tennis this week. Wilson, Waynesboro girls' tennis, that's going to play a lot in the district race. I do think they still have twice to play, but this is going to be the first of those two meetings. So there's at least an interesting tennis match going on there Thursday, Wilson and Waynesboro. All right, so let's talk. Let's move up the ladder. I can't think of really a whole lot of college news to talk about. I know the Tech baseball battled this weekend against Duke, but didn't really they still lost the series. But not a whole lot to talk about the Diamond Sports. I think UVA was disappointed this weekend from memory. How's VCU doing? You've been on them. Let's talk about them a second.
Well, they played two games this weekend. Sunday got rained out. They're in – honestly, they could finish as high as second, maybe even first in the A-10, or they could not make the playoffs. The A-10 is that that congested. Everybody's right there with each other. They played Dayton, which was a matchup of the best offense for the Dayton Flyers in the conference versus the best pitching in the conference from VCU in terms of team ERA. A lot of that has been predicated on a solid bullpen for the Rams. Game one, not great. Rams were 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position on Friday night. Lost 5-1 in a game that Dayton just had situational hitting. There was only one hit that Dayton had that resulted in RBIs, but it was a 5-1 win because they had sack flies. A run came in on a delayed double steal, and then there was, you know, a ground out that was just hit to the right side and was deep enough to get the run in. Saturday was a little bit of a different story for VCU. They came out and they absolutely pounded on Dayton. Really got ahead of them early, stayed on top. That game was never really a threat to lose for VCU. It also saw a Dayton Flyer get ejected in the game. Because the game got rained out Sunday, it's going to be in Dayton's midweek that the player will now serve a suspension instead of an all-crucial A-10 game. So that kind of worked out for Dayton. But it was a competitive series, as is going to be the next one that VCU has, which is on the road. They're kind of at the point now where you need to win every series just because everybody is that bunched up. Really, nobody is out of the A-10 tournament race, which in the past has not been the case. I mean, you could always look at 1 to 2 teams and say, all right, they're out for sure. But UMass and St. Bonaventure have been a lot better this year, so they're competitive. George Washington is really in the mix. George Mason, last year's A-10 tournament champions, going into the weekend, were on the outside looking in on the A-10 tournament bubble. So, again, it's been kind of wild to see how these series have gone on the weekend, and I am sure that they're just going to get tighter and tighter as the season goes on.
Awesome. Let's go on up to pro sports. Let's talk about those playoff series. We'll talk about baseball maybe in the D block, but NBA playoffs got going, and this is about the time I start to even listen to what's going on with the NBA. You know, I hear the big headlines during the season, but standings and who's doing what, I don't get drawn in. I saw right at the end of the season when I was like, okay, what's these playoffs looking like? The Warriors and the Lakers in the play-in games. And I was like, well, that's interesting. I think we've had it before too. The NBA doesn't want one or both of those teams eliminated. Well, the Lakers did what they had to do to stay in there. They get Denver in the first series, but the Warriors got eliminated. And it does feel like the end of that era of the Warriors run here. I think maybe it just highlights that we've already had the end of that era, but this really kind of puts that on there. Klay Thompson playing so bad in the elimination game, I think, kind of puts the exclamation point on that. So we'll see if there's much changes there. But, you know, there's a lot of young talent in there, and that's some of the headlines I've been seeing all year, you know, at Oklahoma City and, just all around the league. And it's names that people are going to have to get used to now. So I do wonder if that's what we kind of see highlight these playoffs, is some of those new names taking those steps. And how far are those steps? You know, are those steps to the finals? Or are you still going to have some of those familiar names in Boston that we're used to getting back to the finals? Are we going to have, or getting to the finals, I guess, now with that group? But still, they've been knocking on that door. Do we have Denver back in the finals after winning it last year? It's going to be interesting to see how these things play out. I wonder, though, like, is the changing of the guard that I'm talking about, will that be kind of highlighted here if LeBron gets swept by Denver here, with LeBron and the Lakers? I think that could be the storyline we're looking at by this time next week, is Warriors and already gone, Lakers are now gone. You know, there's Curry and LeBron gone. You know, is this going to be what we're talking about next week? Are the Lakers even going to have a chance in this series?
In this series, it doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
Game one did not. There was really only one game one that was competitive, and
it was the eighth one played on of
yeah,
the weekend.
It was OKC in New Orleans. And outside of that, they
with
were
some young stars. Yeah,
they were all pretty lopsided. I know the Knicks-Sixers game was somewhat close, but the Knicks were kind of in control. I guess to push back a little bit on that, I would say you don't know, because LeBron, I don't know if LeBron's going to be on the Lakers next year. So, because there's a lot of stuff going on there. In terms of if his son goes into the draft and gets drafted, where does he go? LeBron might go there. If his son stays and transfers to another college, LeBron may go somewhere that's closer to that college. Does he stay at USC? Who knows? I just think for the Lakers, I don't know if there's many teams that are going to be beating the Denver Nuggets. I don't think the Lakers are one of those teams. And so I don't know if that's LeBron aging or just the Lakers outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis not being nearly good enough. I guess you could say an argument for he is aging is he used to take some really crappy Cavaliers teams to an NBA finals before they would get obliterated. But,
I mean, he is aging, but that's allowed. Like, it's not.
Yeah. He's still one of the best players in the league. But yeah, I don't think they're going to beat Denver. I don't know if they get swept, but they're not beating Denver.
He is one of the better players in the league, but as his style ages, mm-hmm. it requires him to have those better guys around him be performing.
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis is a better number two to him than I think he had, especially, you know, I'm not trying to disrespect Kyrie Irving in that sense. I think he was great and he came up big in some spots, but you know, LeBron took other teams to the finals without Kyrie Irving, or Kyrie Irving hurt and got him to win a finals. You know, it seems like he's just not getting enough out of those other roles and he needs that now. So I think if you talk moving ahead, does he go somewhere where he's still very competitive? Maybe so, but I just feel like the guard changing, you know, like I think we're going to kind of, if he gets swept particularly, I just think it puts the exclamation point on, you know, the new age, the new guys coming,
yeah.
And the fact that so many of those guys are younger. They're not these guys, you know, when I think back to the 90s and Jordan, you know, this isn't Patrick Ewing and those older guys that just seem to get beat down so often, finally getting their chance to get past Jordan, which they never really did, you know, in the second three-peat is just those same people knocking on the door. These guys are a lot younger in the league, it seems, that are leading these teams deeper. I joke it's been down a little bit, but I don't know. It just seems like it's not of that same generation or even the half generation behind. It's a full generation coming behind them. So I don't know. I think the media will play it up that way if that's the case. I expect them to get swept. I honestly do. Because every time I try to say, well, the Lakers won't, like LeBron won't let this happen, it happens. Like they do, they are in the play-in game. They are in this bad spot. And so that's the way I think that one's going to go.
Yeah, I do think Denver wins.
Do you think the Knicks can get to the Eastern Conference Finals?
That's a good question. You know what?
You got Milwaukee, who's down.
Yeah, they're the two seed, and they're going to play Milwaukee. Great. But the thing about Milwaukee is, I think now that it's the playoffs, like I think they're going to be better. Like I do think, especially with this first round, they're not going to get tested by the Pacers. They're going to walk through the Pacers, and then I think the Knicks probably get past Philly without too much trouble. But if they drop a game or two to Philly and they get pushed a little bit in that series, I think that's advantage Milwaukee. And I think the Bucks with Giannis and Damian Lillard, who had a great game one, if he can keep that kind of going a little bit, I think they get into that Eastern Conference Finals instead of the Knicks. I do think either one loses to Boston, though. I don't think anybody's got anything for Boston.
The Miami Heat are going
to get swept, and they are going to, you might as well bet Boston to cover each one of those games. Miami's going to get absolutely smacked. They don't have Jimmy Butler. They don't have a prayer.
Yeah, no. Since, you know, Y2K, the NBA has been begging for the Knicks to be good. They've had moments where you think, oh, can they make a run with this guy or that guy? And they just, I mean, Carmelo never did anything.
Yeah.
They've been begging for it. So I'm just interested to see that. I don't know if I'm rooting for it, but it does make it interesting that they're knocking on the door.
The NBA would love The NBA would love Knicks-Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. That would be their dream matchup. They would die for that matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. Any teams outside of Boston, anything out of the top two seeds, do you think like has the best chance to make the finals?
Milwaukee.
See, I just don't believe in Milwaukee. I think that's why I wrote that question. I feel like they would have shown some more signs of life down the stretch if they really had that in them.
Yeah, but I think that...
And plus, like, what is Doc going to do? Doc is, like,
that's,
the king of
that's their biggest
3-0
obstacle,
losses, 3-0 right? conference losses. Like, he's the best at that. So, like, even if they get up in a series, they might... Who knows?
That's their biggest obstacle. That the players will have
and
to
overcome.
And that's
the coach they brought in this year.
Yeah, the players will have to overcome the coach. That's going to be their biggest obstacle.
All right, so... I guess Oklahoma City was who I was... I would kind of like to see do it just to be different. NHL playoffs. This is where you'll lead the conversation.
Well, coming into tonight, no road team had won a game in the NHL playoffs either. But as of recording, both road teams are currently ahead in the third period. I would like to see neither one of those teams win tonight. So I'm hoping for some comebacks. But I, you know, looking at the series as a whole right now, the Panthers win game one. I still don't know that they're going to win that series. I think the Tampa Bay Lightning could come back and win that series. I just haven't been super impressed with the Florida Panthers from start to finish this year.
And that's two teams that you've been... In these last few years where we've talked about, those are two teams that you've kind of rode with.
Yeah. This Boston-Toronto series is interesting for a couple reasons. One, the Maple Leafs are a really good team. They're battling back here in game number two. Game number one, they got absolutely housed. I loved that. I loved that. I love watching the Toronto Maple Leafs get housed. It's one of my favorite things to do, except watch the Caps win. And game one was that. Game two... They've played a lot better. That being said, Boston, the team that wears B on their chest does have a power play and a chance to tie it, which would be awesome. But looking at the Cap series, they're just outmatched. Like, I was hopeful that maybe the President's Trophy curse could get the Rangers, but man, game one was just utter domination. They were controlled all the way. I don't think the Caps will be swept. Maybe they get one at home. But I think it's probably the Rangers will probably be gentlemen about it, but I think it ends in five. Hurricanes and Islanders seems to be a series that's going to go the distance. Because I thought maybe the Islanders were going to go on another one of their losing streaks that they've had this year, but they appear to be hanging around a little bit. Out west, there's still two series that haven't started yet. Vegas-Dallas hasn't started yet. And Edmonton,
as
LA,
of the second, yes, they haven't started yet.
Hasn't started yet. Yeah, as of today, recording. By the time you hear this, they will have started and there will be winners. I like Dallas to win this series, but boy, could Vegas give them problems. I think that one goes the distance. Go seven. Your Lanch, if they could have had a goalie show up, would have beaten Winnipeg last night, which really pissed me off.
Patrick Wall's not around, not available?
He could not have done worse. So I think...
Oh, yeah, they score six goals and still lose. That's not the recipe.
That was amazing. That was a fun game to watch, but at a certain point, I was like... Are we making saves or what are you doing? Is that a hologram in the goal? But I think Colorado will come back and win that series. I still like Nashville to come back and beat Vancouver, although the way they lost last night was pretty disheartening. 4-2. I'm hopping around a little bit, I've noticed.
All right.
There's another series going on here I talked about all the ones in the East. Yeah, Oilers.
You never talk about the Kings.
Oilers, Kings.
Kings and Edmonton start. Yeah.
I like the Oilers and Oilers in five. The Kings aren't going to be able to stop them. Connor McDavid's really good. In fact, if we're going to have the Prime Minister's Trophy in what I want it to be called, the Biden Cup, until a Canadian team wins and then it'll be named whatever their prime minister is at the time. Right now it'd be Trudeau. But Edmonton is the best shot at that. I don't think Vancouver gets out of this round. I don't think Toronto gets out of this round. If they do, they're not getting out of the next one. So those are two Canadian teams that are out. Edmonton would be left. Winnipeg, I guess, is also a Canadian team. But I also don't think they get out of the first round. So, it could be exciting.
I really didn't know Gary Bettman was still the commissioner of hockey.
Yeah.
I missed that. Man, I just looked this up. He is the only commissioner that NHL has ever had. So,
Gary Bettman, dude.
Whew.
The Coyotes are officially officially moving to Utah.
Yeah,
and they will not be the Coyotes. The name
I heard that too.
The name in the history stays with the city. I think that owner has 5 years to get something in place, and he can trigger an expansion draft. Otherwise, he loses first rights to the team or something. I don't know. But Utah will keep the players, and they will come up with a new name. Now,
what type of music name are they? So we
I don't
have the jazz.
I don't love the ideas that were thrown out.
did you hear? I'm making stuff up.
Utah Hockey Club. Didn't love. Now, Utah HC, which is just an abbreviation for hockey club, I don't love.
The other ones
were interesting. Utah Venom was a name that was thrown out. I don't hate that. And Utah Blizzard. I don't hate that. So I hope they pick one of those.
Something snowy would be cool, especially with a hockey team like that.
Yeah, especially since the Jazz's logo is mountains, or it used to be.
Yeah.
Which, you know, jazz and mountains go together. They go together like fire and oil. But
I didn't know that they were playing in like a 5,000 seat arena on a college campus in Phoenix. Like, I didn't.
Oh yeah, it's bad. It's bad. I kind of hope that this guy isn't able to put something together and trigger an expansion draft, just because I don't think hockey there works. I just don't. I don't think they can support a professional team. And so I think you need to let that dream go. Quebec doesn't have a team that used to have a team. Hartford doesn't
have a
team.
Wait a minute, you're pushing for Canadian teams now?
Hartford doesn't have a team that used to have a team. Like, there are other places
they
can
bring that song back there.
Hockey could do better than
didn't
Arizona.
The Hartford Whalers have that awesome song that everybody loved?
I would have to listen to it. I'm not familiar with what you're talking about, but maybe.
Hockey people know. Hockey people and me.
Hartford Whalers.
All right. Well,
that was a great name. Hartford Whalers.
Yeah. All right, let's keep it moving and go ahead and talk about the draft a little bit. The NFL draft starts Thursday night. The Bears have the first pick. Uh-huh. They would have had it a year ago, but they traded it away. The Commanders, number two. We'll talk more about them. The Patriots, the Giants, the Chargers. The thing that comes from any of the talk that I listen to, which tends to be minimal because it gets old quick, it's just all these quarterbacks, and that's normal for the NFL draft. I'm not impressed with this quarterback class. I guess I have some doubts about Caleb Williams. I'm not saying he's going to be the worst quarterback ever. I'm not saying he's absolutely going to be a bust. He's the guy last year on this podcast that I kept trying to like, and every time he would do something that I was down for, and not all of it was positive, not all of it was moments of winning, I would – okay, I like that. Let's go there. And then he would do something the exact opposite that would just kill it for me. So they lost and he was emotional on the sideline with his mom. And some people were throwing shade at that. And I was like, no, like that's a natural, real moment. He knew what that meant for his team, probably having some of that internal too for Heisman stuff too. You know, what does that do to his Heisman stock. I liked that. But then the next week it's like, well, I'm going to refuse to go to Denver or whoever like he thought was going to be number one. I was like, no, don't pull this stuff. And then he does something else that was good, or maybe this was before that. And then he's talking about, well, whatever team drafts me, I'm going to have stock, you know, in the team. And like, yeah, the Players Association was like, yeah, no, you're not. So I can't get a feel for this guy if he's going to be awesome or not. So I think that gives me the doubt on everybody, you know, the Drake Mays, the kid out of LSU, the Jaden Daniels, just the whole quarterback class that keeps getting talked about nonstop. I just have all these doubts. McCarthy, I really just don't think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. And he's, you know, the fourth best player in this draft, apparently. So I don't know. Your thoughts.
I agree in large part because I think if we're going to have a good quarterback, it's going to be a surprising name that you're not hearing a lot about, probably, that just gets into the right system, gets the right coaching, and progresses after a year or two on the sidelines. I don't think you're going to have the instant impact kind of draft pick that turns the franchise around in this draft. So I agree with you in that sense, because I don't think Caleb Williams is that guy.
Yeah, the Purdy kind of guy.
Right. When you're watching what his career at USC, and not all of their losses were his fault, but man, that Notre Dame game was bad. That was like spotlight. Everybody's watching, and he flops. And then there would be other games, you turn it on, and he's just not making the plays he needs to. Maybe he proves me wrong, but and I know it's not the same coaches that have always been there, but USC quarterbacks have not transitioned well to the NFL of late. And I don't think he's going to break that mold. The other names you mentioned, Drake May, no.
No.
You didn't win the ACC. I watched Drake May. That's not going to work. Also,
what's his face? That was in Washington.
Yes. Well, and the Commanders are talking about Drake May, and I'm like, you just drafted Drake May, an older version of Drake May, and it didn't work. Like, why are you doing this to yourself again? I don't get it. Jaden Daniels is another one that I think is talked about a lot. I think that is a lot of smoke and mirrors at his time at LSU. Like, just... I don't think that's going to work. And JJ McCarthy is the wildest talk out there. Look at his numbers. If Michigan, and they're like, well, he won a national championship. I'm like, they didn't use him. They won a national championship because everybody else on the team did their job so good.
What was the national championship game or the Final Four game where he threw
the ball,
the first pass of the game, to the sideline? And if it wasn't for a shoelace hitting the sidelines, it's picked off and going the other way.
The national championship game, he threw the ball 15 times.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because they didn't have faith. Yeah.
And they used the running game. And people are like, oh, they didn't need to. And I'm like, yeah, but if he was good, they would have. So
yeah.
I think that tells you everything you need to know. If there is a team out there that drafts J.J. McCarthy with the plan of starting him, that team is going to have a bad time.
Yeah. They're talking about him high, which amazes me. Back to Jaden Daniels, just a quick second. A lot of the talk around him has been like he's added size, he's added, you know, accuracy downfield. All that's good. If you're adding size to the dual threat quarterback, is he still as dually thready as he was? And like, how's he going to play like that? So we haven't seen that. So like, if he's changing his body mold, well, we're going to have to see him for me to have that much faith in him. And you know, adding downfield accuracy, who's guarding anybody and running at him while proving that. So I don't know. I just don't generally believe this. You know, Michael Penix Jr. had a good run last year. He's that kind of guy, I think, that could maybe sit around for a year or two and then turn some stuff out. But as for immediate success, I'm just not seeing it. Bo Nix, he's not going to be an NFL quarterback. Like, come on. Spencer Rattler, he's not going to be an NFL quarterback.
Oh, God. I hope the Steelers draft Spencer Rattler so bad.
I don't think we're drafting any quarterback in the first five rounds, so I don't think so. I don't know. Everybody talks quarterbacks. I'm not impressed with this year's group. But at the same time, I guess nothing else is pulling me away from the quarterbacks either. Like, you know, there isn't that defensive end that's just mind blowing and all that. It just seems like the top 10 is dominated by quarterbacks. So we'll see how it goes this weekend. I know my Steelers, I mean, add the line always. You know, if we can find some value in a downfield threat, fine. But offensive, defensive lines, let's load up. If we could grab a cornerback, fine. But I don't know. This is the same thing I say every year pre-draft, because I say it post-draft. I just trust our front office. I know that hasn't been as good lately. I mean, we've had some less than. But generally, I just trust that. It's caused a lot of winning for this organization. We've had a little bit since we've done the high winning, so it'd be nice to start turning that. I'm looking for those signals, so maybe this draft will point some to me. What about your Ravens?
I don't know, dude. It's the draft. I don't actually care about the draft. My team's good enough that I look to the playoffs. I don't worry about the draft.
So that gets to the Commanders, who have the second pick. I think they should trade. I think they should look to the Giants, even the Chargers, anybody back there that wants to get ahead of the Patriots and get who they want. I would add picks, drop a couple spots, add picks if I were them. They need more than just one player.
Yeah.
And any of the players that, like, you kind of have to get to get, I don't like. And that's the conversation about quarterbacks that we just talked about. I don't know what their solution at quarterback is. It's not a great story right now.
I would like Marvin Harrison Jr.
But you can get him at 4 or 5. You can probably get him at 4.
I don't know. Maybe not. I.
You don't have to take him at 2. They're going to take a quarterback at 2.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But I would think.
And that's why I think
strongly about Marvin Harrison Jr. at 2.
Yeah, I don't mind Marvin Harrison Jr. That's for sure. So. We'll see what happens. We'll talk about it a little bit next week. Let's get into the D block. What's dominating my life? I guess we started the gentleman, so we don't have to talk too much about it because I just started it. I think I'm 3 episodes in.
Yeah.
And I like it. I like Guy Ritchie stuff when I watch it. There's certain stuff that comes out that I'm like, okay, I don't need to do that. And I think I make wise decisions there. But the ones that I do choose to watch, I do generally like. Snatch is one of my, you know, when I was in college, one of my favorite movies. And I still think a lot of it. Very good movie with Jason Statham kind of running the lead on that movie. But Brad Pitt plays a much different role than he usually plays, and a big role in that movie. So it's a fun one. And that one's more funny than anything, but in that Guy Ritchie vibe. And this show has it so far. I know you've watched it. I've talked to some other people that like it. I do think I've gotten the right readings from the show that I'm not expecting the world from it. So I'm not expecting to be underwhelmed like some of these others. But, you know, it's of good quality. And so I like it so far. I like kind of the twist that they've already shown in the first couple episodes.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it okay.
Yeah.
This isn't really a spoiler. I don't know if I need a season 2.
That's fine. You know, if I'm entertained, I'll be happy. So yeah. I think that's like the expectations have only gotten posted so high.
Right. This is tough. I might just go baseball here just because the show that I've been watching is not for everybody. So I don't know if I would recommend it to people listening, the people that I know are listening. yeah, let's talk baseball. The O's are back on fire.
Are your O's in first place now?
If we win tonight, we will be by half a game.
I think currently, though, aren't you? Because the Yankees
currently we are tied for first with New York. Yes. If we win, we will be half a game ahead. Austin Hayes has a left calf injury, so he went on the IL today. But that's
my MLB standings show the Orioles in first place, so you should celebrate.
Yeah, I think we're going to be a half game ahead after tonight.
You have the better winning percentage as we speak.
Yeah, so. I think we're going to. But what I'm saying is, I think we're going to win tonight, and we're going to be half game ahead. We've already caught them. The race is over. Bad news for the Yankees. They choked. They didn't keep up their pace to win 140 games. Now, anyone who listens to this knows I hate the Yankees. That being said, Boone getting ejected today was
ridiculous.
Wild. And after the game, the umpire's being asked about it, and he's like doubling and tripling down. I know he's saying a fan said it. I'm telling you, I've never ejected someone over what a fan said. That came from their dugout. And I'm like, no, there's video.
No,
there's video. But
and
he's
audio.
still saying, no, it didn't. Like, that's my problem with MLB umpires. They can't ever admit that they're wrong. And that's what makes it so infuriating.
Yeah, it was tough. Yeah, I don't like Aaron Boone especially. Like, that's just doubling my Yankee hate because I don't like him either. And no, he didn't deserve to be ejected. I haven't seen video of I see every video I see, the umpire's yelling at him. It starts with him yelling at him. And you can see him kind of concede, like, all right, And he kind of puts his arms up on the thing, and he's standing there, and he does not vocalize anything. You can tell his mind's racing, but, I mean, that's
fine.
Doesn't
say
anything. Like, it's the second batter of the game, and his umpire came onto that field ready to throw Aaron Boone out. And that's messed up that you can't have that from these guys. Like, they're just, man, these guys weekly give you reason to root for bringing in robot umpires. Because at least they'll get the calls right without the drama.
I sent you a thing. It was 10 worst strikeout calls of the week. Of the week.
6 inches out of the zone.
That's Angel Hernandez. Yeah, that's Angel Hernandez. He stands alone.
6 inches out of the zone.
But there were
10. The zone's only so big.
There were 10 that were 2.5 inches off the plate this week alone. That's not good. And I'm sorry. The old heads out there that are like, well, you know, bad calls are part of the game. Get out of the way, dinosaur. Like, we have the technology to fix this. They're doing it in AAA, and I love it. I think that's the best solution. You keep the human, because that's the best of both worlds. You keep the human umpire back there, and when he blows the call, the batter taps his head and says, and then it takes 2 seconds for them to buzz to the umpire. Yes. Buzz twice. No.
Yeah. And these umpires will get better.
They will get better because they'll be like, oh, okay. That's...
Yeah.
I won't call that now. And it's the same. Like, if the catcher thinks it's a bad call, the catcher can do the same thing. And what's awesome about this, and what I like about it is, you're allowed to do that as many times as you want. I believe this is the rule. As many times as you want until you get it wrong. And then you're done. So it means that they're not going to be challenging every single call that they think is borderline. They're going to make sure, no, that one sucks. That's a terrible call. I'm going to challenge that because I know I'm right. And now, that being said, when Angel Hernandez is behind home plate, are we going to get a challenge every 3 pitches? Yes. And are they going to keep those challenges? Absolutely. Because I don't think Angel Hernandez, I don't think Angel Hernandez, he will be the outlier. I don't think he's going to learn from the robot umpire strike zone. I think Angel Hernandez will argue with the umpire, with the robot strike zone.
Yeah. There's a lot of it. Your Orioles, I've been watching more of them than anybody else just because they're on top of the division. Pirates were playing kind of good and fell off. They had a fun series this weekend, and I was tuned in every game against Kansas City. And the Friday night game, they came back and won, right? And then for Saturday, they did everything they could to come back and win and hit a grand slam, and still Kansas City stayed ahead and pushed ahead and won. But then Sunday, they take care of business. They get the win. And Kansas City tried to come back in that one, right? So it's just a great series. And I think Kansas City's not the bottom of the barrel that we sometimes expect of them. They have a really good run
differential
this season. They're plus 38.
Yeah, you and I both said that was going to be our surprise team, was the Kansas City Royals, that they were going to be good.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. I forget things that I say. Yeah, they have a lot of talent there, and they're holding on to it. That's the big difference in this organization right now, is that they have talent that they're holding on to. And so I do think Cleveland in that division, I think they're going to battle it out. I don't have any faith in Detroit or Minnesota at this point. So, but Baltimore's been fun to watch. I know we celebrated when they brought up Jackson Holliday. He hasn't done anything, but they've been winning with him there. So
yeah,
he's kind of been able to hide behind the wins and be working this out at the major league level. Getting sent back down is usually, they really do everything they can to avoid that. With them being able to win, They're able to give him a night off the other night. They're able to work on some stuff. So I hope he starts hitting soon, because at some point you're going to have to do something. But he's had a rough start.
He's had a rough start, no doubt. And Orioles Twitter is quick to point out that Aaron Judge is in a similar slump as Jackson Holliday is right now. But the difference is we've seen what Aaron Judge has done, and we have this is Jackson Holliday's debut.
It's 60 home runs, and then you have some
If Jackson Holliday played at a stadium that was shaped like Yankee Stadium, I think he would be better than 1 for 30. He would have some home runs. I mean, my gosh, if you stick your bat out and it hits the barrel, it's going out. So, like, I don't know what that says, but I will say, like, I don't think sending Jackson Holliday down is going to solve your problem. Jackson Holliday was murdering AAA pitching. He was murdering every minor league level along the way. He's not going to learn how to hit major league pitching by going back to AAA. So you kind of need to let him figure it out. And yes, it helps that we're winning and we're able to hide him a little bit at that 9 spot. So I don't see a reason to change there. The only thing that I would say is, if he doesn't start hitting soon, there are other guys in AAA who are still mashing the ball. And I think there will come a point that if he still doesn't have really a nice string of weeks or month, that you have to make a switch. Not necessarily to send him down, but maybe he becomes the secondary guy for a little bit to one of these other guys that comes up if they're hitting. Because Connor Norby and Kobe Mayo are really, really good too. And you only have so many spots. Jordan Westberg was AL Player of the Week this week. He looks amazing. He is on pace. He is putting up MVP numbers right now. He is in the top 10 of wins above replacement right now, with Gunnar Henderson and Colton Cowser. Colton Cowser looks like Rookie of the Year right now. Colton Cowser is absolutely hitting piss missiles every time he comes up to the plate. So I love every time he comes up. And that's how they started the Royals game, was back-to-back jacks from Colton Cowser and Jordan Westberg. So the way those guys are playing, you can't take them out of the lineup. That's why the Austin Hayes injury, like, a strained muscle or whatever. Austin Hayes is borderline not going to be on this team the way he's playing, so that's fine. That means that Colton Cowser will not be losing at-bats to him. Cedric Mullins is another guy that needs to keep playing well. He started to hit a little bit better here recently. The defense is always
game winner last week.
Yeah, the defense has always been there for him, which has kind of kept him in the lineup a little bit, but the offense struggled. But you're right, he did hit a walk-off, which was cool. And
lost to the night even.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Orioles. I think that was during the day. But I'm not worried about the Orioles.
Was it during the day? I can't remember. I was watching it when it happened.
Yeah, it was during
the day. Yeah, it was during the day. Yep.
But I'm not worried about...
So what is it then? It lost into the afternoon?
Lost to the flagboard.
Lost into the twilight? I don't know.
Onto Utah Street. That's where it ended up. But yeah, this Orioles team's fine. Improvements. There is room for improvement. We probably need another starter. We definitely need another bullpen arm.
Well, you got some arms coming back.
Kyle Bradish will be back. It's looking like kind of a probably two, maybe three more weeks for Kyle Bradish. I think they're going to use every bit of rehab assignment time they get with him, because he didn't have a spring training. John Means.
Per my sitting on my bench on the IL, I think it's like next week, and then he's back.
I don't know. I haven't been tracking that.
I have, because I have him using a spot on my roster.
But maybe. John Means is a little more troubling. John Means has been getting absolutely rocked in the minors. So,
yeah. 2 out of 3 bad starts
that,
in the minors.
That's concerning. And I've been worried that since John Means is now hasn't been healthy for the last 3 years, if maybe he's done. So, if that's the case, they do have a guy in AAA who's shoving. So, that's an option. but I'd still like another starter. I know Cole Irvin pitched a gem yesterday and we won the game, but I don't. That's like the first time Cole Irvin has left the mound in a start where I've been like, wow, he looked like a major leaguer.
The Royals did not come back yesterday. I apologize for that misspeak there.
I thought we won that one.
Yeah, I
Friday
I
was close. Up. Friday, our bullpen tried to blow it.
The bullpen
and the bullpen on Saturday did. Interesting. The bullpen's not great. Like we have some guys who are good, but then we have a lot of guys who just aren't. And some of them haven't been very good this year. Some of them you look at them and hope they can turn around. Some of them I've given up on. Some of those guys are never going to be good. Dylan Tate is bordering on me giving up. I don't want to give up on Dylan Tate, but man, he's been bad. I feel confident about the Orioles. It seems like we have the good problem of we've got too many players and we need to figure out who we're DFAing, who we're trading, and who's going to be part of the franchise. I don't see a way you get rid of Colton Cowser. So I think he's one that's got to stay. Then you're looking at the outfield. All right, do you bring up Kjerstad? If you do, who's he play for? Is he replacing Santander? Is he replacing Mullins? Can any of them play center field? Let's find out. Man, Santander is really good. I'd hate to give up on him, but you kind of feel like you do. And then there's nowhere to put Kyle Stowers.
Any headline with, like, let's find out is my favorite headline. Because this reminds me, like, of show names on BoJack. So.
Yeah, celebrities. Do they know things? What do they know? Let's find out. Connor Norby. Can he play the infield? Can he hit major league pitching? I don't know. Let's find out. I absolutely love the Baltimore Orioles right now. It's what a time to be alive and be an Orioles fan. This is what it's all about. I mean, we're making fun TikToks. We're making fun posts. Although, I don't know. Maybe it'll be Instagram Reels here soon. I don't know. But fun whatevers. And, it's great. I mean, we're joking with Cal. We're getting hydration stations and all kinds of stuff. We're having fun.
They had the quad when Rushman hit it the other day. They have the four tubes off that thing. So
yeah,
it's
everybody that's on base.
Station.
Yeah, yeah, it's the hydration station. Yeah. This team is fun. They're having fun. That's what I love about it. It makes it so much fun as a fan to watch these guys play every night.
It does. Even as not an Orioles fan, I don't claim that.
Yeah.
It's fun watching them.
It is. It's fun. And
I keep sitting my son in front of the TV, so I don't feel dirty watching him.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, we're going to watch Jordan Westberg. Get in, loser, we're going to the World Series. Like, it kind of has that feel. So, Colton Cowser, Jordan Westberg, Gunnar Henderson. I mean, all these guys are just absolutely...
Yeah, Gunnar's the man. I really like him.
I love Gunnar Henderson. He's so much fun.
Yep.
Yeah, this team's fun. And Jackson Holliday will figure it out. I do have...
Yeah, I'd like it to start happening for him sooner than later.
I would too, because I think
he's so young.
I think that's part of it, right? I think he feels the pressure and he wants
he's
to perform.
Pressing. You can feel it.
I think that's his biggest. And here's the other thing. Some of these outs are not all the outs are created equally. The strikeouts. Okay. That is what it is. And that number needs to go down in terms of the
he's
rate
pressing.
That it's happening. But when he's putting the ball in play, he's hitting it hard. It just happens to be right at people, which is the crappy part of baseball. Sometimes I think those are eventually going to start finding grass. He'll find hits. And when he does, he'll feel that weight come off his shoulders. And as you said, right now we're winning. So he doesn't have the same. It's not the same kind of problem that, like, when Adley came up, we're a tire fire. Hey, Adley, save us.
Fix it. Yeah.
Yeah. Adley, save us. And he did. Jackson Holliday doesn't have that kind of pressure. Like, if Jackson Holliday's not playing well, and we're winning games. So he doesn't need to feel that pressing pressure. I hope somebody like tries to calm him down a little bit. I'm hoping his dad can try to calm him down a little bit too, since he has the major league experience. But I just think, you know, it just needs to be a simple conversation of, hey, you know how to hit. Like, you've hit every single level. Just relax, put the ball in play, let everything else take care of itself. Like, the guys behind you are not going to push you out of this lineup. Or, well, the guys on the team right now are not going to push you out of this lineup. Jorge Mateo is not going to become an everyday second baseman. Ramon Urias is not going to become an everyday second baseman. Like, you are the everyday second baseman. Just relax, put the ball in play, you'll be fine. But he is young. Like, that's the other thing. He's super, super young. So, and I will say, as badly as he's playing, he does have one more hit than Tony Kemp had this year. So,
The other thing I've noticed, Bryce Harper, he's going to be gone this week on paternity leave. They get 3 days in Major League Baseball off. Guess who they call up when they send down Bryce Harper?
I'm guessing you're about to tell me. I don't know.
Cody Clemens. I think that's hilarious. I didn't know he was like on the brink of major leagues. Last time I'd heard about that kid, he was starting a fight in Salem. So, hey, good for him.
I don't.
You don't know that story?
I don't.
Yeah, he was down in, he was playing for the Houston minor league team out of, it wasn't Pulaski. Pulaski had,
Pulaski was the Mariners. And then the Yankees. They were the Blue Jays at one point. They've been everywhere.
He was down around there for a little bit. I forget.
They're also not in the same league as Salem.
And, but he was in Salem one night, not at the baseball field. He was at a eating establishment that you've ate at, that I was with you at. And he started like a big brawl in there. So not really a venue you would expect that to happen in.
No.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah, it's that. I just, Roger Clemens' son causing trouble. I don't know.
Oh, see, that name didn't even ring a bell that was Roger Clemens' son for me.
Oh,
I forgot that
we're really not on the same page.
Yeah, I forgot that he was still playing. I remember when he got drafted.
He was drafted in the 35th round by Houston.
I remember when he got drafted.
I didn't know he was on the brink of the majors. Like, I mean, he's been around for a long time. We weren't doing this podcast when that dude was in the minors causing fights.
Good for him, like, I guess. Can we talk about the Oakland A's?
I played with him on the PlayStation last night, and I couldn't find a pitcher to hit the strike zone. So that was my issue with them.
Can we talk about the Oakland A's? They're not the worst team. They're 3 games out of first place in their division. Now.
Yeah, they're 5 games under 500.
Yeah, because the AL West sucks. They're 3 games out of that division. But they're ahead of the Houston Astros.
They have 9 wins.
The Chicago White Sox are bad.
That doesn't bother me.
What happened? You know what that is? That's a perfect example of bad ownership getting involved. That team was fine. They were a playoff team. They fired their manager to bring in Tony La Russa. They have a young core that loved their coach, was playing free, loving baseball. They bring in no fun Tony La Russa. He kills the spirit of that clubhouse and the franchise.
Lucky he didn't kill other drivers on the highway, yeah.
That too. He didn't have enough time in Chicago to get that done, I guess.
It is interesting when you look at these standings. You talk about the Oakland A's 3 games out of first place. Well, that whole division is 500 and below. Texas is just inching just ahead of 500. The whole AL East is 500 and above. So it's just the inequity of these standings at this point.
I think coming into today, the Tampa Bay Rays, I think they have already lost today. But
12-12 right now.
Yeah, I think that's because of a loss. But coming into the day, they would have been tied for first, and they're last place in the AL East. Like, it's
their run differential, though, is not a good story. So.
No, that's going to be a problem, and that will probably not be 500 if they don't fix that. Cleveland looks great. They look great. KC looks good. The Tigers are the team I think fades there.
Me too. Dodgers really haven't got it going. I mean, they're at 13-11, but you kind of do look at that and are just kind of waiting for them to start up. The Diamondbacks are about a game and a half behind them. And you're,
dare I?
They've just lost some surprising game. Like, they've lost some high run games.
Dare I say, and the Shohei
people,
is
they beat the, pants off of him.
Shohei is being a clubhouse distraction.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. We haven't really touched that. There is significant evidence that's been presented. Let's probably phrase it that way. Significant evidence that's been presented shows that Shohei is not at fault with the gambling situation, that it was very much his interpreter taking money from him and gambling with it, quite a bit of money. You know, at some point, you don't know verbal conversations between people. But there was enough evidence to suggest that Shohei didn't know what's going on, that people are walking away from this without kind of holding Shohei account responsible moving forward. I think that's great for baseball. I was hopeful that was the case, but early you just didn't see how it could go that way. But I also kind of take it as a good sign that it's kind of quietly being said this way. Hey, that guy's going to be charged, all this. This is what's happening. Shohei's innocent. But MLB isn't just standing on the rooftop screaming it either. So it makes me think maybe this is legitimate. Maybe this isn't the message that they want us to get. Maybe it's a lot closer to legitimate than we think. Now, when did Shohei first become aware and this and that? You got to start to wonder. But, you know, I'm glad that there's enough there that you can kind of sink your teeth into it and come up with a legitimate story that doesn't have to be modified or shoved at us that Shohei's innocent. So I'll take that.
Yeah. What worries me is we were initially told about the it was $4 million, and then when the papers came out, it was $16 million. That makes it even harder to understand how you would not notice.
You know, you have different bank accounts. Like, apparently he has, like, a high number of bank accounts with a lot of money in a lot of them. And this was one of the ones that he didn't really have his hands on. And they showed login records from Shohei, and it showed that he hadn't logged in and looked at it. Like, yeah. The trainer knew money, a certain amount of money was being flowed into there. He must have had a good track of what was in there, and that's what he's picking from. And they have login records that Shohei didn't even log into that account for like a long stretch. So like,
right. And
I don't know. There's
and maybe,
enough there.
Maybe you've looked into this a little deeper than I have, but
listen,
I thought
yes.
when I was reading the article that came out about it, that this gambling account that Ipe allegedly opened without Shohei knowing had Shohei's name on the account.
Yeah, I'm going off a podcast conversation, so I guess I'm not sure about that detail on that. I was more thought it was interesting when they talked about that account, how Shohei hadn't logged into it for a long period of time. I don't know if that lines up to what I was hearing. If he didn't know the account existed or something like that, then that throws it off a little bit. But I don't know. I'm glad that there's so much there that's innocence.
I'm still...
Okay.
Look, is it good news for
doomsday.
Shohei?
I thought it was over. I thought.
Yeah. Is it good news for Shohei that the feds aren't charging him? Yes. And there's going to be a cloud of suspicion over him for the rest of his career over this. That's a large sum of money. Even if he doesn't log into that bank account or whatever, that's a large sum of money to not notice is gone. And
yeah, but this is a man that's made a hell of a lot money than we ever will. Like I don't know.
Yeah. And that's a new life.
They live different lives than we do.
That's a new life goal that I never thought I would have is I want to
bank
make enough money,
unaware of bank accounts.
Yeah. That if I lose $16 million, I don't notice. Like that's a new goal. But cause I got news for you. If somebody tried to take $16 million, I would notice immediately. Cause I'd be like, well, wait a minute. They would be very disappointed. But yeah,
yeah, then, $16 might get noticed in my house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm living the $16. Whoa, what the hell's going on here?
Wait a minute. What do we eat for lunch? Like,
yeah. You didn't charge that card twice, did you? But yeah, like, yeah, I don't know. I tell you what, either eBay did all this and is the worst friend ever, or he is taking the fall like nobody else.
Yeah. See, the one thing that Jeff Passan was the main guy that I listened to. I did listen to another one. I don't know who else I listened to. So I'll credit Jeff Passan where I can. He kind of put it in a way of like, okay, either Shohei is kind of, you know, innocent. Maybe there is some fringe details that aren't perfect, but like we're really towards an innocent side here, and that's what we're proving. Or like the Department of Justice, the people at the bank, the like all this list of people that have to be in on it to say that Shohei's innocent. And everybody's message, all these people involved, and all the hundreds of people you're going to start adding up to that would really have a good chance of knowing the opposite. All these people are in on it just to save Shohei, or, you know, we're kind of more towards this. And I liked that point of view of this, like,
yeah,
the amount of conspiracy you'd have to believe to make him guilty, like greatly guilty, is, you know, crazy and just not improbable, impossible really. And, or this guy was really bad. The interpreter did a lot of bad, had the inside track, and, you know, got away with it for a long enough period of time here to gamble that much money. Like, I don't know. It's easier to believe like one guy that hasn't told the truth that all this stuff kind of says than like to think of the, you know, the life-saving conspiracy that would have to be created recently. And I'll tell you, the first steps of this definitely look like cover-up conspiracy. The first steps of it looked that way. But ever since then, it's been better. And I just, it's hard for me to believe everything, like that many people would have to be trying to save his butt to make this right. And including people that wouldn't be getting paid off for this, that wouldn't matter. Like, everybody would have to shut up.
Yeah. I just, I don't know.
I liked that. I like that way of thinking of it. All right. What I know that you need to know, and I think people do this all the time. If I became president, what's something I would change or do? And I mean, there's plenty. And there's the, you know, if I won the lottery, what I would change. And softball lights on all the softball fields in Augusta County would absolutely immediately happen. But back to more of what if I was president, I would establish just right off the bat, executive order day one. I hate to get political here on this podcast, but it's what I got to do. I would call Nabisco and just straighten something out. Double stuffed Oreos are Oreos. Like the single stuffed Oreos should not exist. They're a waste of time.
Oh,
there's not enough stuff between those two cookies to justify the effort that's being made. Double stuffed cookies is the right balance of the cookie. Then you can take your mega stuff and turn those into like just change the ratio all the way down, because the single stuffed Oreos just aren't it. They aren't it. And I am a Oreo connoisseur for my life. There is a good period of my time on this earth where the go-to Christmas gift for me, for many people in and close to my family, was, well, we'll get Leland a pack of Oreos. That'll make him happy. And I ate traditional Oreos in those times and double stuffed Oreo. And I've had it. I don't need all the different flavors. I don't need to do anything with my executive orders on that. I'm just going to establish, you know, move the bar to where double stuffed Oreos are now Oreos. If you still want to make single stuffed Oreos as we know them now and call them half Oreos or crappy Oreos, that's fine. You can market that any way you want. But double stuffed Oreos becomes the new standard. When you put them on the shelf, they're the main focal point. And then you can put the, you know, wish you had more stuffed Oreos with the, you know, crazy flavor crap that they come out with that I don't even try. I'm not going to sit here and say I hate it. It doesn't look appealing to me. It looks awful. Words in the title make me not want to eat it, so I'm just not going to try it. But those double stuffed Oreos are what Oreos
have strived to always be and what should be Oreos from this point forward.
Disagree. I'm not voting for you. That's a lot of wrong there. I think the mega stuff should be abolished. I think that's too much stuffing. You get rid of it.
I haven't had that much mega stuff, so I can't speak to that. But I know
you get rid of it. You never
real.
Have it. Double stuff is too much for me. I prefer the regular Oreo. I prefer that. I don't need all the filling in between.
You probably eat off brand Oreos, so
I don't.
You know,
I don't. I prefer.
They're not allowed in this house.
I'm very.
We get Jiffy butter and name yeah, brand Oreos for
I'm,
sure.
I'm very brand loyal when it comes to my products. Mountain Lightning does not come in this place. Yeah, Dr. Mountain or whatever. Dr. Lightning is not
Dr.
recognized.
Thunder. There's so many of them.
Yeah, Dr.
When
Thunder
I was in
is
high
not
school
recognized here.
And I was like scrounging up money to buy my Dr. Pepper, I would venture into those. And I learned then, not worth it.
Yeah, that's not recognized stuff. Here. I don't recognize
yeah,
his degree.
No, I agree.
It's Mountain Dew or bust.
I've lived in the gutter at a time to understand that isn't acceptable.
Yeah. So
we all go through our Keystone Light phase, you know.
It's Oreos or nothing. But yeah, like I think that's the perfect ratio. I think when you get double stuffed, it gets to be a little too much. Mega stuff has no place in America.
You're wrong. Obviously, I know how to eat better than you do. So I just think the argument ends there.
I'm just streamlined. but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Nope. I disagree.
All right. I've lost one vote.
Yeah. I think the people at Nabisco.
Hey, in a purple state, that matters. So
I think Nabisco will vote against you too. I think Nabisco will run an ad campaign against you. Because they don't want to pay to put that much stuffing in the cookies.
Oh, they make a heck of a lot of those double stuffed Oreos. There's as many of those packages sitting on the shelf as regular Oreos.
Regular Oreos, party pack. I'm just glad that they finally perfected the bag. I can't believe it took us that long. Or
the top opening. It is
the crucial. Top opening.
My kids don't haven't perfected it, but
Let me tell you, growing up, that was the bane of my existence, was trying to get those cookies back in and then get the thing sealed so they wouldn't be stale. I hated that.
And I feel about Oreos back in the day, the way that on Arrested Development, the mom has this whole thing where it's like, if you open the bottle of vodka, you have to finish it. And like, so it's like the joke in the show, like if you open the bottle, you got to finish it.
Yeah.
That's how you felt about Oreos back then. Cause like you opened them up. Well, I got to eat the whole damn thing now. Cause it's never going to be the same again.
Yeah.
Yeah. The new bags are great. Now they peel up right on the top. You can get more than one easily. It's great. My kids just think that sticky is good for it to bend back down over top of itself. So it's open. They get the cookies they want and then they just bolt.
So then you have to close it.
I will say is user error. I don't feel like my kids are the only ones on earth doing that.
Probably not.
But they are definitely doing that.
Yeah. That's tough. I let me say that. I hate people who do that. Now, your kids are young.
You hate my kids. I got
you. No. Your kids are young.
You hate my children. Last week, you talked about everybody that watches shows on CBS. How you hate them and think less of them. Now you're attacking my kids this week. I get it.
I stand by the CBS. I don't hate your kids. Your kids are young, and that is their excuse. I know adults who do that, and I do hate those people because I'm like, what is your deal? Like, what are you doing? Like, close the damn bag, even though it's not a bag. Close the container or whatever. Like, oh, they drive me bananas. But while we're talking about, and I guess this will be what I know that you need to know, Pringles suck. People who, like, that's their chip of choice. I feel bad for them. I wonder if they've ever had chips. My uncle is right. Pringles are made by, they take the dust, the chip dust from the Lay's factory.
smash it all together.
Smash it all together. And then that's how you get a Pringle. Like, and it is, it's gross. I don't get it. I don't get what I mean. The can, is that, I guess that's it.
I will say the can be convenient. If you could put a better chip in that can, I'd be interested. You know, when you were throwing stuff in a bag to go to the lake on the boat,
sometimes that's when the Pringles get bought around here because it is a little more durable. You're not going to smash it. Like, it happens. But, yeah, they're not as good. I acknowledge that. And we never just have them sitting around the house. It's like we buy them specifically for the packaging and we move on.
Yeah, like if now that's a great point. If it's doomsday, that's the chip you grow for because it's not going to get smashed. But
yeah,
man. But you also grab a bag of Lay's just so you can remind yourself.
So when you finish the Pringles, you can dump the remnants of the Lay's down in there, and at least you have something good coming out of that.
Yeah. Now,
so what is your chip of choice?
I love Lay's. Now, I will say this. Whatever you're paying for when you buy Lay's potato chips, over half of your purchase is air.
Yeah. That's standard in chip bags. Yeah.
I don't. Now, that aggravates the bleep out of me.
Shrinkflation, right?
That aggravates the bleep out of me. They're getting crushed either way. So just give me a full bag.
So my favorite is actually newer. I like Doritos growing up, and you had the traditional red nacho or whatever. Those are good. I have never been huge on the Cool Ranch, but like I know people that are. At this point in life, I've started to judge those people. Mine is the purple bag for Doritos, the spicy sweet chili. That is my new for the last 5 to 10 years. That's been the choice of chips. Now I say 5 to 10 years, at least 5. Maybe they came out short of 10. But since I've been introduced to them somewhere in that time frame, they are my chip of choice. Really good. Have a great flavor. I think they're superior to the traditional red nacho bag of Doritos. Now I'll eat the red nachos when you go to a kid's event and they have the assortment. You're going to get the red nacho, but those purple sweet spicy chili, that's my chip of choice these days.
I've never been super into Doritos.
Okay. I don't like Cheetos and stuff. People love that.
When I was a kid, I was into Cheetos, but yeah, I'm not into Cheetos anymore. Tostitos would probably be my second choice.
I
love
it. Now, the best corn chip you can get.
Careful.
You go to Walmart, get the Cantina style tortilla chips. They are like the cheapest tortilla chips on the shelf, and they are superior to most everything out there. I'm not saying Tostitos are bad, but for half the price, you can have something that I honestly have come to prefer. They are very good. Walmart brand or great, whatever Walmart's brand is these days, great value, whatever. Cantina style.
Cantina.
Tostito chip. Very good.
We'll try it
sometime. They're constantly miles. My wife buys them by the box. She always likes to come home and tell me like which worker helped her get the box off the shelf to bring them home in. So, we get them like 8 bags at a time.
All right. Well, I'll keep that in mind. For me, it's Tostitos.
They're good.
I could go either way on the restaurant style or the scoop. But I will say this. If I don't have a salsa, then I'm not interested in Tostitos at all.
How about the like a cheese queso dip? I do like a nice cheese queso.
I don't like a cheese queso dip.
I like having
dip.
Both.
And let me
like
tell you why.
Both right there.
Because it's not cheese. It is a cheese-like substance, and I am not interested in the cheese-like substance at all.
Well, there's many cases. I don't know. Not all quesos are cheese-like substances.
Here's the other thing, Leland. I don't like that much cheese. I think that's too much cheese. I don't hate cheese, but I think there's a certain point that you go too far with me, and
I do a lot of this in snacks where I'll get like the sweet and the salty kind of back and forth. And I feel like that's maybe like a not exact there, but I'll do like salsa and the cheese sauce at the Mexican restaurant, sit next to each other, or at home where we choose what we buy to have there. And it's not as crappy of a cheese that you're talking about. And like, I'll do both. Like I'll do it with trail mixes at the holidays. We always have like a sweet mix and a salty mix, and I'll eat like some of it. I'll mix it in the same damn cup because I just like the both. So like I do that at different times with like sweet and salty or creamy, cheesy and salsy. I mean, I don't know. I like a good range of salsa, but I do like a touch of variety, I think, when I sit down in those cases.
Now there See, because I like a little bit of kick to my salsa, and it's hard to find that at the grocery store, if we're being honest,
yeah.
Because they're all made for mild. Even when it says hot, it's like, okay, but not really. I have found one.
That doesn't affect me.
I found one at Martin's that gets the closest to hot that I've found at a grocery store. It's not even in the salsa like aisle. You have to go to like the aisle over there where like the salad and stuff is. It's and now I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But it has hot in the name, or the hot flavor there. I love that. And that's something that like comes in like a container, like a tub almost. And yeah. That does not last a week. Like it's like, oh, eat within, you know, 3 weeks of opening. And I was like, dude, not gonna be a thing. Yeah. So
next 3 nights, this is out.
Yeah, it gets demolished quickly. I will say some of the best salsa though, like for chips, and here's the thing. I love this salsa and I hate this salsa. It's the Chipotle hot salsa. I like to get that on the side, and then I don't like their chips because their chips are really hit or miss. If they come out fresh, you're fine. If they've been sitting there for a couple hours, not great. So I'll just get it on the side, and then I'll take it home, and I'll have my Tostitos scoops, and I will eat it with that.
Oh, I don't like the scoop. I don't like the scoops shape chip as much.
Yeah, I'm good with the scoops. Now, I will say this. When I've started to buy the restaurant style just for when I come home with the Chipotle hot salsa. Because if you scoop that, dear Lord, are you in for a trip. Like, that that does start to hurt. I love the taste of it. It does start to hurt at a certain point, and then later in the day, it really hurts. And it's always at that part of the day I question why I ever do it. I just sit there and I'm like, this was so stupid.
I do lean with my salsa to be more of like a pico de gallo kind of.
No, that's gross.
Yeah, no, okay. So we're a little different on our salsa. I mean, I'll eat a range of salsas, but I like the fresh ingredients that you usually get with a pico. That's kind of what I've leaned towards more.
No, not for
Have
me.
You been to Chicano Boy?
I have.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah, but I don't like the pico. I want that to be a red sauce salsa.
You build your. I mean, you don't have to have pico.
That's that, but that's what I'm saying. When you're like, oh, don't you like it? Like, I don't like the pico. Like,
okay, well, don't get the pico. I don't. Chicano Boy. I mean,
yeah.
In Stanton, if you hate the Chipotle so much in Stanton, like that's the place for you in Stanton. Then
I've got to be honest, folks. Let's be honest. When it comes to the Chipotle in Stanton, you just have to time it right. If you're like, I don't want to get hit with the lunch rush, that's fine. You're going to have a bad time because they will not replenish the ingredients until they need to.
You should have heard on Tony last week, they had, they tore down the Blacksburg Chipotle, like out of nowhere, just out of right field. They just tore it down. Like by talking, I'm not saying they physically tore it down in Blacksburg, but they had Greg, he used to be at the board up there, and then he's written a bunch of shows since then. My Name is Earl is one of them. So he's been famous, but he comes back through. Well, he's on college visits now with his son. So during spring break, they went to Duke, Virginia Tech, and a list of other schools that they went to. And so they get to, you know, they're in a situation, he's written some sitcom television, he gets to choose, you know, they get to choose where they could go to. So, but he said he stayed in the Residence Inn right beside campus. They went to the Chipotle, and he said it was off the rails. Like, he just tore it apart. It was hilarious. He said they didn't even order the food because it was, like, blaring music. No one talked to him. It was just hilarious. And then everybody, since then, anybody with awareness of the Blacksburg Chipotle has like, oh yeah, that place is terrible. So
I've been to that Chipotle. Funny.
Like, it feels local for me on that podcast to hear that. And this guy lives in LA and he's like coming across country and talking trash.
Yeah, I've been to that Chipotle.
They said the inmates are definitely running the asylum there.
Yeah.
It's a college town. I mean, that's the great thing about Blacksburg. It is a college town. So, like, some of that stuff that you're going to get from a college, you get it in Blacksburg. Like, you get a student-ran Chipotle. Like, I mean, my roommate was a student. He was the manager at the student-run Pizza Hut. Like, it was awesome. People make those, like, they tell those elaborate stories where, like, oh, well, we walked into the Pizza Hut and we said delivery. Ah, and they get, and we made them give us a ride. Like, that was standard how we got home in college. Like, we all the time got rides home from the delivery driver. Like, that's what we did. I remember calling him on the way to places, like, hey, what time are you getting off? Yeah, I want a pizza and a ride home here. And, like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. And like, there's a lot of places there in Blacksburg that you're right, that you get that feel, because the Chipotle is one. Even the B-dubs, when you're there, you're like, all right, this is a little Wild Westy of B-dubs. Like,
I love the B-dubs. When I was there, it was with Legs. They still had Leg Night, and you get like 50 cent legs or whatever. It was such a good deal. Oh, my goodness. That place was awesome for us then. But, yeah, it was the Wild West. We tip our waitress really well.
Yeah.
And so it would be packed Wednesday night, leg night, packed. People lined up out the door down this ramp coming down there. And we just walked past everybody right to a table for 12, save for us, right in the middle of the place. Like, she saved it despite the line of people. It was awesome. Every week.
We didn't – when I was at JMU in Harrisonburg, it's changed so many times. It's O'Neill's.
That was a crappy spot for a B-dubs, that small-ass place.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah. It was right across from campus, which was cool, but man.
That's in a terrible location. But we would go to, it's now O'Neill's. It used to be Ham's when I was at JMU. Yeah. And they would have $2.99 cheeseburger night on Tuesdays.
Ooh.
And we would go every Tuesday. You'd get your cheeseburger, and then your drink would be on top of that. But that's fine. The cheeseburger and your chips were $2.99. That's a deal you can't beat when you're in college. So... Yeah. We went there, and it's great. I still like going there. But we would go there, and we had a waitress consistently because we would tip well. And there was one weekend where the host did not sit us in her section, and she let that host know that was to never happen again.
Awesome.
And so we were always very well taken care of.
Yep.
Enjoy conversation. She actually helped. By the time I was at the Boys and Girls Club later after college, she helped us out with that. So for that fundraiser. But
what was her name?
Her name was Rachel.
Ours was Jenna. Jenna was
there
our girl.
There you go. And I think Rachel went on to be
a teacher. Grant would hit on her. It was awesome. It was always a good time.
Yeah. I think she went on to be a teacher. So good person. But yeah, like we would have so much fun. And that's what that experience is about, not a Waffle House in Lynchburg where two people got shot this week.
Back to positive. My favorite deal for in a college town in Blacksburg was PK's, which is just absolutely standard college town pizza place on Thursdays. The Filipino flip or Tijuana toss. I might have called them both in the time. I hope
Yikes.
I'm not being wrong by saying either one of them.
Yikes.
But at the end, you ate your pizza. You ordered your pizza. We'd always probably have two or three going. And then at the end of the meal, they came and flipped a coin. Heads, you didn't pay. Tails, you had to pay for each pizza. It was awesome. I never came out of that one paying full price. It was awesome.
Well, that's good. That's fun. That's fun.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
That's cool. Tots is a pretty cool place, dude.
Tots, yeah, that's a different. I don't know. I've never been there in the daylight, so I don't know.
Well, yeah. I hear that, but yeah,
I don't. This podcast isn't made for my Tots stories. So.
I hear that.
I've known a guy to scale the wall.
Good Lord, that's
and get away with it.
That sounds like a bad idea. But
he was his first. I had met him. He was our new roommate moving into our apartment. No one knew him. We had to post that we had an open spot. We had to get a spot filled. Well, here's this guy coming from grad school, from JMU. I was like, okay, I'm going to meet him. He's in Harrisonburg this summer. I'll meet him in Weir's Cave and eat Subway with him. So I met him, and I was like, the guy's nice. Like, I like him. I said, at worst, we will be in friendly. Best case, we'll be friends. Like, this guy's awesome. So all my friends are just listening to me on this. It's a weekend. We're moving in. Everybody's getting in there. I think he was late getting in on that Saturday or stuff. He's just like throwing stuff in. We were on the way out. I think everybody kind of met him like, hi, and my name, but we're gone.
Well, the next thing they know is he is over the wall inside Tots because the line was to the corner on opening weekend of school. And I mean, that just won. I mean, that right then everybody's like, okay, yeah, you were right. He's awesome. Like, I've seen people not get away with that, but he got away with it.
Oh my gosh.
There's my one Tots story I can tell. Notice how it doesn't include me.
Yeah, I get it. I get that. But yeah, I mean, we have fun.
Big Al's was my place in Blacksburg.
Never been there.
It's closed now, but it was awesome in its day.
Yeah, I don't think I have what I know that you need to know this week. So.
Oh, we've covered a lot.
Enjoy the NHL playoffs.
My mom just got some. What she now knows that I didn't necessarily want her to know. So that's good.
There you go. tune into the NHL playoffs. That's what I know that you need to know, because it's been exciting. The Carolina Hurricanes were down 3-1 in the third period, came back and won 5-3. It was awesome. The Islanders almost scored on themselves on an empty netter. They managed to put it off for about 30 seconds before the Canes put it in and won the game. They're up 2-0. That series is over. Islanders are toast.
It's fine with me. That coach that left the Capitals to go to the Islanders, is he coach anywhere now, or is he just done?
No, I think he's gone.
Cool.
But yeah.
All right, let's get out of here.
So, as Leland was saying, and we talked about in the top of the podcast, we love to talk about local sports. So make sure you're subscribing on Podbean, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find podcasts. Make sure you don't miss another episode. You can follow us on Twitter, YAC Sports Pod, or on Facebook, YAC Sports Pod. That's the Yak Sports Pod, your Augusta County Sports. Or you could email us if you aren't on either one of those social medias, YACSportsPod@gmail.com. Tell us what you think of the local sports going on. Who do you like in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Who do you like in the NBA playoffs? Who's your team drafting? Are we wrong about the quarterbacks? Tell us what you think. We're always happy to interact with you, the fan. Until then, folks, have a great week.